Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. I'm delighted to announce that this past Sunday, I married Josie Ann Glausius, and it was terrific. So that's my good news. And more good news is that this week, Rabbi David Levenkreus discusses Parshat Metzora. Rabbi Levenkreus is a senior faculty member of Pardes and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Programs. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreus.
Thank you, Larry, and mazel tov to you and Josie on your wedding on Sunday. May the two of you have many, many happy years together. When it comes to the book of Vayikra, along with Rashi, the Ramban, Ibn Ezra, and the Sforno, when I teach at Pardes, I include another commentator. A modern commentator, not even a Jewish commentator, but a woman by the name of Mary Douglas, who is an anthropologist who spent many, many years studying the laws of purity and impurity, what we would call Tuma and Tahara, in Africa and the East. I have found that her work is incredibly helpful in terms of us understanding what is going on in these parashiyot, and very, very often it's easier for us to understand what's going on in our own culture by looking at another culture, looking at something that's a little bit removed from us. It enables us to relax and just understand what is going on rather than the defensiveness that sometimes comes with studying something in our own tradition, which is difficult to understand and sometimes challenging to our preconceived ways of thinking. So I found Douglas very, very helpful in terms of looking at the same laws in other cultures and adapting them to understand our own, something which Douglas herself did. In addition to writing a very famous book about purity and danger, she also wrote a book called Leviticus in Literature, in which she takes her ideas that she gleaned working with different groups and applies them to what she would call the Old Testament, what we would call the Hebrew Bible, or the Tanakh. Of course, there are two pitfalls that we need to be very, very careful when engaging in this type of work. One is the one-upmanship, you know, we're better than them. This is what it means for these tribes, but we're better than them in terms of what we do. So I think that is one pitfall one has to be wary of. Another pitfall one has to be wary of is the tendency to prove the Torah. Here we have objective proof that what the Torah says is true. I think both of these should be avoided, the one-upmanship as well as the proving the Torah. Rather, what I'd like to do with you today is to look at tzara'at, the skin disease, the skin ailment that is spoken about in this week's parsha, and see how Douglas deals with it, and see if we can use her insights to understand what is going on in this week's parsha. Just a little bit of background. Tzara'at is a skin wound in human beings, some type of a scaly fungal growth, which renders the person who has that ailment impure. Not only are they themselves in a state of tum'ah, but they are able to defile both holy and everyday objects. And because of this, they are restricted within or excluded from the community. They are no longer part of the community. They have to live separately until they are purified. And finally, when they are better, there is a ritual which is carried out by the priest. What does this mean? Why are they separated? Why did they get the ailment? What is the symbolism of the ailment? Why do we treat it in such a way? Why not just put on an ointment? So Douglas starts off by saying that it's not connected to hygiene, it's not connected to aesthetics, and neither is it connected to dirt in the way you and I will refer to dirt as being something unclean. Rather, for Douglas, it refers to dirt in the way that we would mean mess or something out of place. In other words, not dirty or unclean, but something out of place. This is what Douglas writes. Dirt is essentially disorder. There is no such thing as absolute dirt. It exists in the eye of the beholder. One example she uses for this is coffee. Coffee in a cup is not dirt. Coffee spilt on my shirt is. There is nothing dirty about the coffee per se. There's nothing wrong with the coffee per se. On the contrary, it's good. But when it's out of place, That is when we have a problem with it. Dirt, she says, offends against order. Eliminating it is not a negative movement, but a positive effort to organize the environment. In other words, nature, the outside world, is lacking in order. What we do is we apply our order to the outside. She continues, in chasing dirt, in papering, decorating, tidying, we are not governed by anxiety to escape disease, but are positively reordering our environment, making it conform to an idea. We have an idea of what we want the world to look like, and we re-examine the world in those eyes. There is nothing fearful or unreasoning in our dirt avoidance. It is a creative movement, an attempt to relate form to function, to make unity of experience. We should interpret primitive purification and prophylaxis in the same light. If uncleanliness is matter out of place, we must approach it through order. Uncleanliness or dirt is that which must not be included if a pattern is to be maintained. The same principle applies throughout. Furthermore, it involves no special distinction between primitives and moderns. We are all subject to the same rules. I think Douglas brings out two very important points here. One is that primitives are similar to us. We tend to think ourselves as sophisticated. We look, I don't know who we is, but we sometimes look down. There are people who tend to look down on ancients and see them as being like some type of a lower level of civilization. But what Douglas says is, you know, we're very, very similar to those people. You know, get off our veneer of sophistication, and we have the same drives, the same needs. And in fact, there's something very, very important that antiquated rituals can teach modern people, being in touch with the world which was more in tune with their basic drives and have found very, very, very powerful ways to deal with them. So the first point that Douglas makes is these laws can still speak to us today and should speak to us today. Secondly, and this is what we're going to be concentrating on today, purity is wholeness. Every individual should be a complete and self-contained specimen of its kind. The human body is an expression of wholeness and completeness. In her words, a perfect, unflawed, unblemished container which reveals the wholeness, completion, or perfection of God. In other words, our body has to be some ideal physical representation of God in the world. And if we are whole, then we are holy. And holy consists of definition, discrimination, and order. Well, some things are holy and some things are not holy. And already we see echoes of ideas within the Jewish tradition, the idea of completion, of wholeness, of shlemut, the idea of separation, of kadosh, being something separating. The holiness, says Douglas, means keeping distinct the categories of creation, and by following these codes, the children of Israel can reveal the holiness of God. So there's some type of ideal of perfection. Something is unclean, tameh, impure, when they are imperfect members of their class. Bodily discharges, childbirth, our body being altered, a skin condition, a disability, all of these cause the state of the perfection of the body to be violated and cause a state of tum'ah. And Sarat does this in particular. It undermines the body, especially because in Douglas's understanding, life and death need to be kept separate. Death is impure, and this again fits in very well with many, many ideas in our own tradition, where tum'ah is seen as coming from death. Death is non-life, it is outside life, it is a body that is not the way it should be. Life is affirming, life is here, life is a body the way it should be. And leprosy in particular challenges this, because you're dead and alive at the same time. You're putrefying, your body is falling, bits and pieces of your body are flaking and falling off and decomposing. On the other hand, you're alive and still able to reproduce. So what Sarat does really is it challenges in a very, very powerful way our idea that something needs to be either dead or alive, tameh or tahor. A hybrid and a confusion is very, very problematic, and therefore Sarat is perhaps the most problematic one of all. The body is no longer whole. the skin can no longer do what it's supposed to do. It can no longer create borders and barriers between people. Why does this happen? Asks Douglas. Not because of demons, as many other anthropologists said, but there needs to be some breach of the covenant of God. Something has gone wrong. And ritual impurity and its removal of the ritually impure from the camp is a way of reimposing God's order on creation. For Vayikra, this entire system is a way to say that God is involved in every single aspect of our lives. So to summarize, purity is about wholeness, it's about life, and it's about the ability to establish control over the world around us and give meaning to that which would not necessarily have meaning by drawing lines and discriminating and making separations. No doubt many of us, you and I, have problems with this idea. There is the Platonic idea of wholeness being goodness and perfection somehow being evil. I think in modern society, there are tendencies that go in the other direction, where we talk to value difference, to understand that a person who looks different, who has a disease, who is disabled, is not evil, far from it, but rather a different form of God's creation. And our job is to understand and to accept that all of us in our own way are each different parts of God's great choir. And this goes very, very much against this ideal that Douglas has set up as the temple, as a place of perfection. On one hand, I'm just sharing with you different ideas I have about it. On the one hand, it may be better, I think, to recognize it and give expression to it, to say the temple is the place where we recognize that this is how we are. Many people, however hard they try, cannot get over the idea of somebody different being different, however hard they pretend. But maybe it's better just to say the temple is the place where we give expression to it. On the other hand, having a place like this, a place of wholeness and perfection, may reinforce our stereotypes and, as we often know, encourage it rather than channeling it and limiting it, as I suggested before, can instead lead to these ideas becoming part of other parts of society. So I think it can have a dual function. The temple can either be a limited expression of this idea, or it can lead to this idea spreading more and more outside it and into all of society. So I admit that while I'm very, very attracted to this theory and understand it and love the way that it explains the book of Vayikra, I'm worried about what it might say and mean at the same time. So what is of value? What can we learn from this? Douglas emphasizes that all people will become tameh at some point. Tum'ah is part of life. Impurity is part of life. And we have atonement to get out of this state. We said before that the tzaraat comes because God's covenant is broken in some way. And it's interesting, although Douglas does not mention this, that the rabbis connected Metzorah to Motzi Shemra, to going and saying bad things about people, to gossiping, something that everybody does at some point, or most people do at some point. I don't want to be accused of gossiping about people, but most people do at some point, and yet it's a very, very powerful break of God's covenant. It's a sin, but we're able to get out of it. In other words, what Sarat says to us is making mistakes, erring. And chet, after all, comes from the same root in Hebrew, which means to miss the mark, to err. Sinning, erring, happens to us all. Gossip happens to us all. But what Douglas emphasizes is that what Sarat says, what the laws of Metzorah says, is not so much you are separated from the community, but there's a way to bring you back into the community. God has given us a way to get out of Tzara'at. God has given us a way to get out of our state of sinfulness. This, I think, is very, very powerful. For Douglas, what is important about Tzara'at is not that it's there, but that we're able to get out of it. Today, I've set out to prove not that we're better than others, but to use ideas from the outside to understand the Torah. I hope I've shown how in many, many ways, we're still connected to the primitives, that wholeness and perfection are still very much part of our lives. But what's important is not wholeness and perfection per se, but the fact that there's a way to get out, or in some cases, there's a way to get out of this state. And I think it's very interesting to be speaking about this before Pesach. On Pesach, as we know, or some of us may know, we need to eat the Korban Pesach, the Pesach offering, in a state of tahara, in a state of purity. If we don't do this, if we don't get to the temple in ancient times, if we didn't get to the temple on time to eat the Korban Pesach, what we would do is that we had a second chance a month later in Iyar, Pesach Sheni, second Pesach, minor Pesach, to do it a second time. We had the option of making up what we'd done wrong. I think in a very, very powerful way, what Douglas's theories are saying to us is that God has given us opportunities to make sense of the world. We can choose to make use of these opportunities or not. And if we miss the mark sometimes, there is a second chance. In a very, very powerful way, Douglas gives us a way to understand issues such as tzara'at, skin diseases, times when the body seems to be out of joint. She also causes us to ask very hard questions. What does it mean, this ethicalization, this moralization about parts of the body? And I throw out as something we've touched on in this class, but not really looked at in great depth, I throw out as a question for you to think of, and perhaps for us to deal with it another time, is that this works very, very well when the damage to the wholeness is impermanent, like tzara'at. Perhaps at another time we will look at what happens when it's something permanent. How does the Torah and how does Douglas understand that and the problematics that go with that? Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated. Please send your emails to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.